It's Thursday, late afternoon, and let's be real. There are some weeks and some days when your work schedule or personal life can be tough stuff. Welcome to the Mental Health Happy Hour, brought to you by your good friends at Family Solutions, one of the largest behavioral health agencies in the state of Louisiana. Today's show is brought to you by American National Insurance agent Derek Kennedy and Dax Wings and Grill, and sponsored in part by Origin Bank, Portico, and the Dustin James team at Keller Williams. Now, here are your hosts of the Mental Health Happy Hour, Dr. Scott Zentner and Dr. Scott Shelby.
Welcome to the Mental Health Happy Hour. I'm Scott Shelby, alongside with our favorite Dr. Phil N., Dr. Bill Riddle. Glad to have you here today, Dr. Bill Riddle.
Well, thank you, Scott. It's good to be here. Good to see you after, seems like, a little break we've had.
Yeah, we had Christmas and New Year's, and now we're back for a great start to the new year. We have a wonderful guest calling in from across the pond today.
Yeah, jolly old England, as they say.
That's right. Tell us a little bit about our guest, Bill. You've been talking with him and really trying to find the time because, man, he's got a lot of good things he's going to talk with.
Right about that, Scotty. Our guest today, folks, is Ben Aldridge. He's coming to us. To be honest with you guys, I don't know if he's on Zoom or Skype or something, but hey, it's our Mental Health Happy Hour's first international guest, so
that's
we're
right.
Happy about that. And what better place to go than to England?
That's right.
Right? Ben Aldridge is a prolific author. He's the author of a couple of books that we'll be talking about today, and I am in receipt of those books. He has a tremendous story about moving from what sounds like severe anxiety to tackling the uncomfortable things in life. And man, some of the things I read about this boy, this young man, are truly amazing. Some of the feats and adventures that he has taken on through a new way, if I'm understanding it, Ben, we'll get to you in a sec, about just a new way of thinking, mental resilience, I believe I've seen him call it. And welcome, Ben.
Well, thank you so much for the lovely introduction. It's great to be here and chatting with you guys. Thank you very much.
Yeah, very excited to have you come on and talk a little bit about how you came to, write these books on how to control the uncontrollable. Can you talk a little bit about your background and what led you into presenting the world with this type of information?
Yeah, so basically in my late 20s, had like a really bad experience with panic attacks and anxiety. And at the time, this was horrific. This felt like the end of the world for me. But actually, it was the beginning of a new adventure. But I didn't realize that at the time. So after this episode of intense anxiety, I started to do what I could to try and figure out what was going on. And then the whole journey basically became something that I documented with my writing, and then this became a springboard for me to go out and speak to people about mental health and philosophy, and it's been quite a journey, and I've had some real adventures along the way, so it's been brilliant to be able to document that and to get feedback from readers, and yes, I've created two books and a deck of challenge cards, but all of this was really off the back of that severe anxiety that kind of acted as a catalyst for a lot of change in my life.
Dr. Riddle here, were you, I think I heard you say you were in your mid to late 20s and you began experiencing panic attacks, is that right?
Yeah, that's it.
And looking back on that, my friend, I work with a ton of 20-year-olds and, quite a few who have pretty severe anxiety, social anxiety, and then, of course, panic attacks. Was that something you dealt with looking back perhaps as a teenager, as a child, anxiety itself, or did it just come out of nowhere in your 20s?
So really it came out of nowhere. I mean, retrospectively, when I look back at my life now, I can see that, yeah, there were moments of panic and anxiety when I was younger, but it wasn't so intense. What happened in my late 20s was I just had this freak out, started having back-to-back panic attacks. And there was no real reason. You know, life was great. There was no trauma that caused it. And it was, I guess, more of a pernicious kind of thing that happened off the back of poor lifestyle and certain things that I was doing and the way that my mind was working. So, you know, it came out of nowhere. And I think the scariest thing about it was I was so poorly educated on mental health. So when I started experiencing these panic attacks, I genuinely thought I was dying. I thought it was so physical. There could be no way that my mind would be creating these physical sensations within my body. So it was a very frightening time.
How did you make that discovery? The discovery that this was actually from the creation of your mind?
Well, I mean, I was in denial for quite a while. I think, and what happened is I was so convinced that there was something physically wrong with me. When I went to the doctor instantly recognized it as anxiety. And I just didn't believe her when she gave me that diagnosis. I really didn't think that my mind could be so powerful. And I went away and started doing my own research. And after a lot of reading, I came to the conclusion that she was spot on. And this is exactly what I was experiencing. And, from that point on, I started to figure out how to manage that and started pushing myself and doing all these different things that ultimately helped me turn my life around and get rid of that crippling anxiety.
And Ben, as you know, at 20 years old, that's a time when individuals are facing a much different life stressors, change in life, stages of development, that sort of thing. And it's something that we see here in our area, that young people that are out of the house, in school, working, it's just a new set of stress that individuals haven't really been faced with, and really being able to prepare them for what that's like and what to experience seems to be a little bit about what you are trying to promote with being proactive with how to control the uncontrollable.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think from my experience, I was never taught any of this at school. I don't know the American education system is very different from the British one, but this was something that never mentioned. Mental health just wasn't on the table at all. It wasn't even a subject that anyone really had any experience with. So I think the fact that naturally in the modern era, I think we're seeing more people talking about mental health issues, which is fantastic, because awareness means that we can learn how to manage that. But I think it's just important to get this information out there and to try and see, actually, there's a lot we can do as individuals to push back against this anxiety. And many people experience anxiety because there's so many different things that can cause it. So I think having some kind of strategy is really important. And, yeah, that's definitely what I lean into now, try and talk about how we can push back against this, what we can do to feel better, and how we can ultimately manage our minds in a proactive way.
Right. And we're coming up on our first break here in about a minute or so. And when we come back, I'd like to talk about the books that you've written, the public speaking that you've been doing to promote these ideas and being proactive. And just the idea of public speaking brings about a sense of fear and anxiety to a lot of people. And I'm curious as how you got into public speaking as well, and really, really promoting that proactive techniques to help individuals that may be struggling with something similar that you did in your 20s, and definitely something that most everyone has experienced at least one time in their life, which is, you know, anxiety.
Right, and boy, I can't wait, Ben, to get you back here after the break to talk about some of the things, some of the adventures that you've taken on. I mean, we're talking about these polar bear baths and marathons and learning Japanese and climbing mountains, long-distance walks. I heard your story on The Art of Manliness. This is how I came across you a couple months ago, so just some amazing things that I think you've tackled, and I'm glad to hear that. We'll be glad to hear that, I should say.
Yeah. Well, Ben, we're going to be taking our first break here, and we're really looking forward to coming back with author and speaker from London, England, Ben Aldridge, specializing in how to control the uncontrollable. We'll be right back in just a few minutes.
Does your son or daughter have trouble focusing at school or even homework? It's not always ADD. Your child could benefit from occupational therapy. Call Family Solutions Pediatric Therapy at 361-7180. We help put the pieces together.
An estimated 26% of Americans aged 18 and older suffer from a diagnosable yet treatable mental health disorder. That is one out of four Americans. Depression, anxiety, PTSD, panic disorder, and social phobia. And one in five American teens. That's 20% of America's boys and girls. Sadly, many do not receive the help they need. There's good news. Here in Northeast Louisiana, there are many qualified, caring professionals who are here to help. Reach out today. It's perfectly okay. You're not alone. Help is near. Hi, I'm Derek Kennedy, a local insurance agent. With numbers like these, we all need to do our part to check in on our friends, family, church friends, and co-workers. Let's do this together.
Portico Bar Grill has what you crave. Steaks, seafood, burgers, wings, pizza, homemade pasta, and signature dishes. Portico Bar Grill has something to please the pickiest of eaters. Enjoy outdoor dining, top-notch wine, and 17 beers on tap, and the best lunch and dinner specials daily. Enjoy a special dinner on the open-air patio. Weekends full of fun with friends or a nice evening with family in the roomy brick-lined bar and grill. The gang at Portico Bar and Grill are always happy to see you and your friends. Drop in after work or bring the family to Portico Bar and Grill today.
Listen and you'll hear it. The unmistakable sound of cheering, crashing helmets, and referee whistles that can only mean one thing. Louisiana football is back. Origin Bank has been a team player for more than 100 years, supporting our customers and communities to succeed no matter what challenges arise. From mobile pay to checking, savings, home and business loans, Origin's full suite of banking products and services is tailored to meet your individual needs. Visit originbank.com for details. Louisiana Football and Origin Bank, two proud team traditions. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
I'm Dr. Scott Shelby with Family Solutions. When you hear the words Family Solutions, you may not know that we're a comprehensive, strength-based counseling and psychiatric clinic. Family Solutions provides psychiatric care, individual and couples therapy, child and adolescent counseling, psychological testing, medication management. We also provide occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech therapy, and ABA therapy in one convenient location. For more information on how we can help your family today, visit FamilySolutionsCounseling.org.
You're tuned in to the Mental Health Happy Hour on KMLB 105.7 and AM 540. For questions or comments, call or text the Mosquito Authority hotline at 318-324-1500. If you're out of the area, you can reach us at 800-259-1440. Now, back to the conversation.
Welcome back to the Mental Health Happy Hour, right here on KMLB 540. We're here to discuss mental health and wellness. As mentioned previously, if you have questions for Ben or Dr. Riddle or myself, feel free to call the Origin Bank hotline, 318-324-1500. Very excited to have Ben Aldridge calling in from London today, talking about how to control the uncontrollable.
That's right. Hey, you know, I remember years ago, Ben, I had a mom in my office, and her life was out of control. The problem was that she didn't quite know it, you know? And I said to her, I'm going to go out for a cup of coffee, which was not quite true. I don't drink coffee. But I'm going to go out for a moment, and I handed her a legal pad and asked her to begin listing all of the people in her life with whom she had control. She said, no problem. She's a mom and a daughter and the mother of six. And so I noticed she began making them the list. When I came back after 5 minutes, I said, okay, lady, let's, I gave her a drum roll and I said, let's hear all the people and all the situations about what you have control. And she began to cry and said, I wrote down six, and then I realized I don't have control over my children, my husband, my boss, the weather, whatever. And she, I think at that moment, began to turn a corner, realizing, was it Marcus Aurelius who said, maybe the thing in life that makes us happy is within us. It's in our way of thinking, as I recall. Does that ring a bell with you, Ben?
Yeah, so what you're talking about there, I think, is the dichotomy of control, which is a really important part in Stoic philosophy. And Stoicism is something that has had a profound impact on my life. In fact, I credit this as being, you know, the reason that I was actually able to manage my anxiety for ever since I got into Stoicism. I think it helped me to understand some really important rules. And yeah, as you're saying, the control, what we can and can't control, is such an integral part to this philosophy. And the Stoics basically say that most things are outside of our control, but it's up to us to respond to what happens to us. That's where our power lies, and that's how we deal with challenges. We look at what can we do, and we put our attention and our focus into the things that we can actually control, which is, where do we go from here, where do we go next? And it's a very profound way of looking at things, because, yeah, it's quite scary how so little in life we have direct control over. So it's just learning how to manage it, learning how to respond well to all of the challenges in life.
Yeah, and Ben, can you, I really like that thought and that philosophy. Can you give some specifics on what you've learned that maybe you don't have control over, but the things that you do have control over?
Okay, so for instance, I always like to use the weather as an example, because this could be you can use the weather and you can kind of change that with many different things. So for instance, if it's raining, you have no control over that. So what can you do? Well, you can respond. You can take a brolly, an umbrella out with you, or you can not go out, or you can kind of, you know, you adapt to whatever it is, or you just go out and accept that you're going to get wet. So that's basically how you deal with that situation. Now that example, weather, can be replaced with, you know, the turbulence of the financial markets, or maybe there's things happening at work that are outside of your control. But what do you do? That's the important thing. How do you respond well to that? So I was, an example that I've got from quite recently is, I was stuck on a train, and there really isn't a lot to do, a lot that you can do when you're stuck on the train, waiting for, you know, there was just a signal failure and then all this, you know, rubbish that can happen. So I was stuck on the train for 2 hours, and we're without moving anywhere. And obviously it's very frustrating, but you notice that it's all about what happens in your mind at that point. And you really have to focus on what you can control. And in that situation, really, I have to wait the situation out and try and use the time properly and not waste that time, because it's very easy for me to sit there and, you know, get stressed about being stuck in, you know, on this train and not being able to get off and not be able to, like, basically be late for everything that's happening in that, in the day to come. And I actually just focused on what I could do, which was just get on top of a load of admin and kind of flip the situation around. So I think we can do that for a lot of different situations in life. And, you know, this is a core part of Stoic philosophy. And I think it's brilliant because this is 2000 years old, this advice. But yet it seems so relevant.
So Stoicism is good character, self-control, use of personal wisdom and knowledge. Who are some of the great Stoics? And also, Ben, I don't know, people in our area might frown upon the word Stoicism as they think it might be antithetical to their religion or something. Do you understand? Talk about that, of course.
So Stoic philosophy is ancient Greek and Roman philosophy that's very practical. And the great thing about it is the advice is very timeless. One of the most famous Stoics, probably the most famous Stoic, was Marcus Aurelius, who was the Roman emperor. And then there are a bunch of other famous Stoics from
Seneca
era as well.
Seneca,
yeah. Yeah, he was a famous playwright, essentially like a Roman entrepreneur, and he wrote tons of stuff on this philosophy. And it's very practical. I think that's what's so fantastic about it, and that's why it helped me so much, was because I could really dig into these ideas, and I found that they were things that I could relate to and I could use. And to comment on your point about whether it would interfere with your faith, I think absolutely not. I think this is more of an operating system that can work well, and it's not about believing in a specific God or anything like that at all. It's more of a way of looking at the world. And it could complement whatever faith you have. I think that's the key thing with this philosophy. It's not asking you to alter any kind of religious belief, but it's looking at, you know, very practical ideas that actually have become the framework for a lot of modern therapy. Cognitive behavioral therapy, rational emotive behavior therapy, these two therapies are basically Stoicism, but kind of souped up a little bit for the modern era.
You're right.
I think it's...
Sorry.
I was going to say, so yeah, I think it's fantastic, and it's very, very relevant. So yeah, I think it's great for everyone, whatever your religious background.
Thank you for that. When I think about, Scott, we use cognitive behavioral therapy, you know.
That's right.
So we know that the way we approach events or stressors, relationships, so much of that begins in the computer or in our brain. And if we can change the way we think, we change the way that we behave, and our behaviors change the way we feel. So I was struck by that as I was reading a little bit more on Stoicism, how similar it really is to some of our modern theories, such as cognitive behavioral therapy. But you got to tell me, Ben, how does a guy who's got panic attacks suddenly start climbing mountains and walking backwards in public places like a grocery store? I can't wait to hear some of this stuff.
So, do you know what? This is all because of the Stoics. I have to blame them for all of this. So one of the things that they would do is they would do this thing called voluntary discomfort. So they would deliberately expose themselves to challenging situations. And this was a way for them to build resilience. And when I was really anxious, when I was very, very scared, this sounded so counterintuitive, but there was a part of me that was really drawn to it. I thought this was an amazing way to train the mind. I knew that you could go to the gym to train the body, but I hadn't really thought about where you go to train the mind. And the Stoics had all of these wonderful things they would do to train their minds. So they would sleep on the floor without a duvet mattress or pillow. They would expose themselves to the cold and the heat. They would fast from food and water. They would deliberately embarrass themselves in public so that they could practice overcoming shame. And they would get involved in very physical exercise. And I just fell in love with the philosophy. So I started to test out these ideas. And at first it was very, very, very small. You know, I was in a very bad mental space. So my first challenge was actually to walk to the local bench in my park, which was only about 200 meters away.
Right.
But every time I did a little challenge, I gained confidence. And this snowballed and snowballed. So first of all, it was a bench. Then it was catching the tube. Then it was catching a bus. And then driving on the motorway. And this expanded. And then, I mean, to cut a long story short, after a while, I was doing more adventurous and bolder, braver things, like climbing mountains and running marathons and doing all these things that I could never have imagined being able to do before. And it was really down to this Stoic concept of training for adversity, training for future difficulty, and kind of stepping outside of your comfort zone deliberately. So, yeah, I fell in love with it and basically haven't looked back since.
You know, the concept that you suggested, voluntary discomfort, I know a lot of the folks that are listening would probably say, why in the world would anybody voluntarily put yourself in a situation to make you feel uncomfortable? And I think that paradox in itself is the intervention and the catalyst for change. Like you said, small steps lead to larger ones. And before you know it, you have a lot more confidence just by pushing yourself towards that what you're fearful of. Because I feel like human nature, if we're anxious or fearful of something, we're going to do our best to avoid it at all costs.
I often tell our college group, look, kids, life actually often begins when you step outside your comfort zone, and it's a challenge. Now, we're in Louisiana here, Ben. Our biggest mountain is called a hill. And
Mount Driscoll,
yeah.
400 feet.
Yes, right. So bear that in mind, but I've ordered those cards, and when we come back from our break, you know what I'm talking about, Ben, those resilience cards and challenge cards? Man, I want you to tell us some of those, if you will, because ours will be in the, well, they should be arriving any day now. But that's something else at BenEldridge.com. Great photographs of all of these risky and
challenging photos.
Thank you, yes.
I've taken a look at those, and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, that's
Yeah, everyone who's still listening, who when we began talking about how we need to embrace the uncomfortability, they stayed with us instead of turning us off. Go to BenEldridge.com. Check out the books and those photographs. You'll be inspired, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, guys, stay tuned with us. We have Ben Eldridge from London, England, an author and speaker, How to Control the Uncontrollable. Stay with us. We'll be back in a few minutes.
As parents, we are so anxious for our kids to meet their next developmental milestone. Unfortunately, it's easy to compare growth skills with others. Questions? We have answers at Family Solutions Pediatric Therapy. Call 361-7180. We help put the pieces together.
If you or someone you know is in emotional stress or having thoughts of suicide, please talk to a friend or a relative. Call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK. That number again is 1-800-273-8255.
Portico Bar Grill has what you crave. Steaks, seafood, burgers, wings, pizza, homemade pasta, and signature dishes. Portico Bar Grill has something to please the pickiest of eaters. Enjoy outdoor dining, top-notch wine, and 17 beers on tap, and the best lunch and dinner specials daily. Enjoy a special dinner on the open-air patio. Weekends full of fun with friends or a nice evening with family in the roomy, brick-lined bar and grill. The gang at Portico Bar and Grill are always happy to see you and your friends. Drop in after work or bring the family to Portico Bar and Grill today.
Listen and you'll hear it. The unmistakable sound of cheering, crashing helmets, and referee whistles that can only mean one thing. Louisiana football is back. Origin Bank has been a team player for more than 100 years, supporting our customers and communities to succeed no matter what challenges arise. From mobile pay to checking, savings, home and business loans, Origin's full suite of banking products and services is tailored to meet your individual needs. Visit originbank.com for details. Louisiana Football and Origin Bank, two proud team traditions. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
You're tuned in to the Mental Health Happy Hour on KMLB 105.7 and AM 540. For questions or comments, call or text the Mosquito Authority hotline at 318-324-1500. If you're out of the area, you can reach us at 800-259-1440. Now, back to the conversation.
Welcome back to the Mental Health Happy Hour. I'm Scott Shelby alongside Dr. Bill Riddle. Very excited to have Ben Eldridge on today, author and speaker, How to Control the Uncontrollable. Ben, the things that you're saying during the break, me and Dr. Riddle were talking, and it's I think these are just really, really amazing concepts that we can use in everyday life. Bill was talking a little bit about the challenge cards that you have, and we'd like to talk a little bit about how those cards came to be, how to encourage individuals that may feel like this is something completely outside their comfort zone, but to encourage the challenge to go towards that fear. Yeah. And overcome.
Yeah, Ben, man, I can't wait. I'm serious. I don't know if they're going to ship them from New Orleans, New York, or where you are, so I don't know how long it'll be before I receive those. But there are 60 of those cards, correct?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there's 60 challenges that can all be made harder. So this project was quite interesting because this was my second project. My first project was how to be comfortable with being uncomfortable, which was my journey with anxiety, and then some of the challenges that I did in order to build mental resilience. And this project is kind of an extension of that. And these cards were a lot of fun to create. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's a deck of cards. There's 60 cards, and you pick a card, and there's a challenge on there. And the point is, you know, you pick the card, and then you've got to do the challenge. And it's a real mix of challenges, I think. That's the fun part, and all of them can be made harder, and they're in different categories. So there's courage category, which basically means you've got to do something embarrassing or something that would, you know, take a bit of bravery to do, mainly sort of public humiliating things. So I've had a lot of fun doing that. I've tested out a lot of these ideas. We've tested out all of these ideas myself, and yeah, it's been great. And there's other different categories as well, things like physical challenges and skill-based challenges, and learning new skills, pushing yourself physically, being creative. There's lots of different things, and it was a fun project to work on, and I've had a great time actually testing these ideas out, and yeah, some of them are quite bizarre.
Yeah, Ben, give us a quick example of an entry level courage card that would be something.
Okay,
that
so
just kind of get you into the stick toe.
Yeah, so the one that I love, I always recommend this one. It's a fun challenge, and it's got ancient roots in the Cynic philosophers of ancient Greece used to do this. And basically what you do is you walk backwards in a busy public space. And it's really embarrassing. It's really embarrassing. There's a big park in London called Hyde Park. And I walked backwards through the whole of that just by myself. I wasn't being filmed by my wife or anything. It was just to test out this idea. And I can honestly say it's super embarrassing. Because everyone's walking faster than you. And there's this really awkward bit where they make eye contact with you, and then they overtake you, and they're like, "What? Why is he walking backwards? It's really weird." And it's all about what happens in your own head. How do you deal with that? And honestly, just turn around and walk backwards, and it's going to feel a bit awkward. And that's the point, right? This is why we do this. We do this because, you know, we're training our minds to be more comfortable in uncomfortable situations. And this is a very easy way that people can go out and do that. And I think,
what was the feedback you experienced when you first walked backwards in that park from other individuals that are out there?
Yeah, Hyde Park is not exactly Caroli in our neighborhood, Scott, you know.
Do you know what? Most people didn't. No one cares. The only person who it really cared was me. You know, it was all of what's going on in my head. And that's what's so fascinating about any of these exercises you do, where you embarrass yourself,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
because it's all about the way that you're dealing with it. No one cares that you're walking backwards. Honestly, no one really, really cares. They're busy doing their own stuff. But it's all about the stories we tell ourselves. And I think that's interesting to play with that. I think a lot of people don't put themselves in those kind of situations. And actually, you can learn a lot about the way your mind works by pushing yourself out of your comfort zone. And certainly, these kind of courage challenges are quite good for that. Especially if you're introverted.
What a fascinating concept to bring out into the open, to make the covert overt, which is saying anxiety can come from a lot of our ideas about how other people view us. And it's interesting that if you do something like that that's embarrassing, that's completely different from what everybody else is doing, nobody really cares. You're just being you and doing your own thing.
You know, there was some series that premiered last night here on Fox. I honestly can't remember the name of it, but there were 16 celebrities. The guy with the New York Mets, the catcher, I can't think of his name right now. But
did the Mets still have a baseball team?
Well, sort of. Mike, it'll come to me next Tuesday.
Mike Piazza?
That's him, yeah. But they've taken all these people out into Jordan, the desert, and they're being asked to do a tremendously difficult physical task. But the task is really not about physicality. It's about mental resilience. I don't know if this series will make it or not, and it just began last night, but I watched about a half hour of it. It was interesting. I can't remember a lot of these. Britney Spears apparently has a younger sister. She's one of them. And so that was interesting, I thought, and it kind of reminds me of what Mr. Aldridge is talking about. Hey, Ben, there's something else that I came across that I use a lot, and I think many counselors do. What's the importance of journaling, young friend?
Journaling, yeah, this has helped me a lot. I think it's also a very stoic thing to do. So the ancient stoics used to reflect on the day. And it's something that can help us to clear our thoughts. It can help us to ensure that we're living with purpose. I think there's something cathartic about putting things down on the page. And it's, you know, I try and do this every single day in the evening. I'll look back at what's happened. And what's interesting about this is over time you can start to spot themes. You can start to see things and patterns that you might not be aware of because, you know, we live very much in the moment from day to day. But actually, when you look back and you start looking at things in terms of, you know, 2 or 3 months at a time, you will start to see patterns and the way that you think about things. And also, it's nice. Personally, I like to collect moments that have been good throughout the day, and just kind of listing my top 3 moments mm-hmm. can be a really nice way of reflecting really positively. And even if it's really simple, mundane things like getting a good parking spot, it just trains you to think in a bit more of a positive way. So I think collecting these moments is nice. And I think there's something important about giving yourself time to self-reflect. So I think journaling is fantastic.
Yeah, just being able to remind yourself of what's going on that is positive, that is bringing joy and happiness and gratitude throughout your day. And with how life is, you know, currently for a lot of folks, it's busy. You get up, you get the kids off to school, you go to work, you come home. It's the same thing. And to be able to break that pattern and to be able to acknowledge that there is good.
One of the things I do, Scott, and I think you know this, and by the way, you often take the gold, or if not the silver, at the end of the day, Ben, for years now, I've tried to reflect upon the funniest thing I've seen or heard. And I've made mental notes throughout the day, and as the day unwinds, that's sort of a, I don't actually write them down, but I do replay them in my mind, and it really makes me laugh and realize, you know what? There was a lot of chaos in life today, but there was a lot of fun, and some funny and humorous things as well.
Yeah, that's
humor. I love.
Yeah, humor's great, and anytime you can stop and laugh, and it's good. And sometimes, you know, like we do, me, you, and Dr. Zentner, he's not here today. We take our work seriously, but not ourselves, and we like to have a good time, relax, and tell dumb jokes. And
trust me, Ben.
They're dumb.
You're not missing anything, my friend.
But I think that's part of, you know, just pushing that comfort zone, sharing things that, with folks and friends. And that's always something that, you know, we can say, hey, if I say this, what will somebody else say? And I think that brings a level of confidence. And you speak a lot to building that confidence, really having that mental preparation as you're preparing for a race and slowly getting in there and building up that stamina so you can do things that are way more challenging physically and mentally than simply walking backwards in a public area. And when we come back from our next break, I want to talk a little bit about some of your adventures that you've done, and maybe when you were 20 years old, experiencing that panic disorder for the first time, if you ever really believed that you would do those things, and how you were able to overcome over the years and really have a very full and fulfilled life of adventure and good times and meeting people all over the world. Because, you know, one of the quotes that you said that really stood out to me was when I was 20 years old and I experienced my first panic attack, I said, is this the end or is this the beginning? And I believe that's always an opportunity. A crisis is an opportunity for change. And if we can see that there's a positive outlook on a situation that we might feel we don't have the answer to, getting that clarification through confusion brings a tremendous enlightenment and confidence. And I'm really looking forward to hearing that process of change for you and how that could be an influence on those listening today are facing similar challenges, whether anxiety, depression, financial strain, how they can overcome and lead a fulfilled life full of adventure and great friendships.
Scott, let's invite everyone while we take our next break to hit up Ben Aldridge, ALDRIDGE.com. Look at the website. Check out these books. Check out these photographs. You're going to be amazed, my friends.
We'll be right back on the Mental Health Happy Hour in just a few minutes.
Parent, are you concerned with the way your child pronounces certain words? Maybe reading and writing is a struggle? Getting help early is important. Call Family Solutions Pediatric Therapy today at 361-7180. We help put the pieces together.
An estimated 26% of Americans aged 18 and older suffer from a diagnosable yet treatable mental health disorder. That is one out of four Americans. Depression, anxiety, PTSD, panic disorder, and social phobia. And one in five American teens. That's 20% of America's boys and girls. Sadly, many do not receive the help they need. There's good news. Here in Northeast Louisiana, there are many qualified, caring professionals who are here to help. Reach out today. It's perfectly okay. You're not alone. Help is near. Hi, I'm Derek Kennedy, a local insurance agent. With numbers like these, we all need to do our part to check in on our friends, family, church friends, and co-workers. Let's do this together.
Portico Bar Grill has what you crave. Steaks, seafood, burgers, wings, pizza, homemade pasta, and signature dishes. Portico Bar Grill has something to please the pickiest of eaters. Enjoy outdoor dining, top-notch wine, and 17 beers on tap, and the best lunch and dinner specials daily. Enjoy a special dinner on the open-air patio. Weekends full of fun with friends or a nice evening with family in the roomy brick-lined bar and grill. The gang at Portico Bar and Grill are always happy to see you and your friends. Drop in after work or bring the family to Portico Bar and Grill today.
Listen and you'll hear it. The unmistakable sound of cheering, crashing helmets, and referee whistles that can only mean one thing. Louisiana football is back. Origin Bank has been a team player for more than 100 years, supporting our customers and communities to succeed no matter what challenges arise. From mobile pay to checking, savings, home and business loans, Origin's full suite of banking products and services is tailored to meet your individual needs. Visit originbank.com for details. Louisiana Football and Origin Bank, two proud team traditions. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
I'm Dr. Scott Shelby with Family Solutions. When you hear the words Family Solutions, you may not know that we're a comprehensive, strength-based counseling and psychiatric clinic. Family Solutions provides psychiatric care, individual and couples therapy, child and adolescent counseling, psychological testing, medication management. We also provide occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech therapy, and ABA therapy in one convenient location. For more information on how we can help your family today, visit FamilySolutionsCounseling.org.
You're tuned in to the Mental Health Happy Hour on KMLB 105.7 and AM 540. For questions or comments, call or text the Mosquito Authority hotline at 318-324-1500. If you're out of the area, you can reach us at 800-259-1440. Now, back to the conversation.
Welcome back to the Mental Health Happy Hour, right here on KMLB 540. I'm Scott Shelby alongside Dr. Bill Riddle.
That's right.
And
we're on 105.7.
105.7.
FM.
FM. And iHeartRadio.
Thank you. And AM.
540.
All right.
So however you may be listening, thank you for tuning in with our very special guest, Ben Aldridge, calling in from London, England today, talking about how to control the uncontrollable, specializing in anxiety and going towards those things we could be fearful and anxious of. Ben, so thankful that you were able to come on and spend this hour with us today, and looking forward to our last break with you. Can you share some things that maybe we didn't ask about you and your experience and your methods and philosophy that you feel could be helpful to our listeners?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. Absolutely. So I think really with all of this, the main thing that I'm trying to bang on about is, you know, life can be tough. Life can be difficult. And the way that we prepare, I believe, is by challenging ourselves. And I think if we push ourselves out of our comfort zones in a controlled environment by seeking out challenge and adventure, then it helps us to prepare for the times that life throws a curveball at us and we have to deal with something really difficult. We're all going to face difficulty. So I think having some kind of philosophy and some kind of set of ideas that we can lean into when things get tough is really helpful. And testing that out with challenges is a very practical way of doing that. So I always think it's important to marry these two things, philosophy and challenge. So I always like to think about, you know, what's going on in my mind when I push myself. And that's the fun part of it. And I think the fact that it's in a controlled environment when we sign up for obstacle course races or races, or even just do something a little bit scary, nominate yourself to give a presentation at work, or there's many different examples of ways that you could seek out a little bit of discomfort, we become more resilient as human beings. So I think that's really my main message, and that's something that I've had a lot of fun exploring, and actually this has brought a lot of adventure into my life, things that I didn't think I would have been able to do in the past. When I've looked at my fears and deliberately attacked them, I've grown so much as a human being. So, for instance, I had a massive, massive fear of needles. So one of the challenges that I set myself was to go and have acupuncture, because they're basically going to put needles absolutely everywhere. So I had needles in my face, my hair, like all over my legs, everywhere.
That's a little extreme there, isn't it? That's not like walking backwards in a public spot.
No, it's a little bit more intense. I mean, for a lot of people, no problem at all. But it's all about looking at what scares you as the individual. So for me, I had a big problem with needles, and I just went through myself in. Now, this wasn't what I did at first when I was in my very anxious space. I had to build up to stuff like this, but I found that the more I did, the more confidence I had, and the more I wanted to push myself, and I wanted to seek out fears and play around with them. I mean, fear and play are two things that don't really get used in the same sentence, but I think we can have a lot of fun and learn about our minds by exposing ourselves to our fears. And yeah, this is what I did, and I found that, you know, the more I went and had acupuncture, the more confident I became around it. And now I go all the time. I'm not bothered by it. And I think that's real progress. I think how I was before that first that first appointment, you wouldn't believe how actually now it's something I really look forward to.
There's a fascinating photo on your website, benaldridge.com, of you scaling a mountain. I don't know if you're rappelling it or climbing it. I can't tell. I'm curious about where that is. And as I've shown it to colleagues, they're like, who is this guy? And tell us about that photograph, please.
Is that the one above the sea?
Yes.
Yeah, so that was basically some sea cliff climbing, which is atmospheric. It's probably the best way of describing it. So you're climbing and you've got the sea kind of smashing against the cliffs below you. And, yeah, that was quite an intense experience. My climbing sort of built up over time, and I found that climbing itself has been really good for my mind, because I can often scare myself, but within a controlled environment, relatively controlled environment.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating being in those situations. And that's quite a dramatic photo, because, you know, my friend took the photo from the top of the cliff looking down, and then you've got the sea underneath you.
Is that somewhere?
So it really
Is that somewhere nearby, or we were just curious. Like, where was this rocky ledge?
So this was in Cornwall, which is in the south, the southwest of the UK, and there's loads of cliffs, and it's a really nice part of the UK. And there's lots of climbing on those cliffs.
Yeah.
So it's a really great place to go and visit.
Looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. I mean, honestly, you can be very scared climbing, but know that you're safe. It's kind of a weird mix. I'm not really pushing the climb. This is an established climbing route. I'm not doing anything groundbreaking. But it's all about how you deal with those challenges. So for me, I got a lot out of that climb. It's quite scary, but I think that's okay to be in those situations and learn to kind of sit with that fear. And I think when you're in quite a spicy climbing situation, then I think you have to pay attention. Pay attention to how your mind as well.
I'm in my 60s, you know, and without doubt, one of the scariest things I ever did was rappelling. When you're letting yourself over the top of a mountain tied to some silly rope, that's scary, man. I was probably, 25 or so, and man, it was a long way down, and it took I'd have rather done acupuncture, in fact, than to have gone down that mountain.
Well, Bill, I didn't tell you, but I've got us a rappelling adventure this afternoon that we're going
to
be doing.
Hey, I love it. I mean, like Aldridge says, I was scared to death, but once I did it, I couldn't stop. We did a lot of that throughout the South here.
That's true, and Ben, it reminds me quite a bit of some things that I've used in my practice working with individuals, is that you have a comfort zone that you hang tight in, and really those new opportunities are the opportunities to really stretch ourselves. And as we create those new opportunities, our comfort zone expands and it becomes bigger. And it seems like that's what you've done since you've been 20 years old and now really going out and doing some really exciting things. And I feel like our listeners are really going to have a great opportunity to tune in to you and to use some of your techniques and theories to help overcome some challenges. Tell us how they can get in touch with you, whether to speak with you directly, books, articles, the challenge cards. Tell us how we can get in touch with your ideas.
Yeah, so I think the best place to go is benaldridge.com, because it's got links to my two books and my deck of challenge cards. There's also some photos and like a video interview and some PR stuff. There's also a blog and a newsletter and links to all of my social media as well. So I think that's the best place to go, and then you can get a sense of what I'm all about, and you can connect with me there.
Man, I'm excited about it. As I said, Ben, we've got those cards on the way for our college group. And, man, I cannot wait to deal those cards. Can you trade, by the way? Can you trade the card with a friend?
Trading cards.
Do you know what? I like the idea of you, as you pick a card for someone else, and you know what you know what will push them. So you pick one, and you go, I know this is going to be hard for you. So you give them that card, and that's their special challenge. So I think that's, you can have a lot of fun with that.
That's a great idea. Well, Ben Aldridge, we really appreciate you coming on. We are coming down to the last, 30 seconds here. Really, really thank you for being able to come on, take the time to share your story, your philosophy, and I'm very encouraged by it. And I just can't wait to go to our local grocery store this afternoon. I'm sure half of Monroe is going to be walking backwards in the store.
Right. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of shopping basket.
With everybody walking backwards, I might walk forwards and be the one.
You'll
really
be the weirdo,
place.
Right? Yeah. That's right. Man. Yeah, I think it's great too. Hey Ben, man, just getting you together. I'm looking at two wonderful guys here in the studio who've helped to make this happen. I think I told you because of the international calling and Zooming, etc. We were a little nervous about that, but hey, we all stepped outside our comfort zones.
And everybody, it worked out, and we've grown. It's a new opportunity, so. Really, thank you for coming on. This is the Mental Health Happy Hour. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next Thursday, 5 o'clock.
All right.
Take care, everybody.